This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن سار على نهجه ومستن بسنته إلى يوم الدين أما بعد فاتقوا الله أيها الأحباب فقد أمرنا سبحانه وتعالى في تنزيله يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون ثم أما بعد. My brothers and sisters, before we begin, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to shower His mercy and acceptance on all of us here today. Allahumma ameen. And as for our brothers and sisters that are suffering here and around the world, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless all of them with patience and strength and reunite all of us together with them in Jannatul Firdaus al-A'la. Allahumma ameen. Ayyuhal Ahbab, there was a time when a great scholar that many of us have heard of who died in the year 2001. His name is Shaykh Uthaymeen rahimahullah ta'ala. There was a time, a famous story during his lifetime where the king at that time came with an entire group and visited the Shaykh rahmatullahi alayhi in his home. The first thing that I want you to think about is it's not the sheikh or a citizen going to visit the leader. Because usually that's how it would happen. You would go and visit the leadership or the king or the president in their palace or in their home. But instead, the king brings an entire party with him and they come and visit the sheikh, rahmatullahi alayhi. One of the reasons why is that it was well known, especially amongst his students, the Sheikh lived a simple, humble life. He slept on the floor, didn't own a bed, had one room to himself, and he engrossed his life with just seeking knowledge and sharing that with the Ummah. And when the king and his party came to visit the Sheikh, the king asked the sheikh, "Is there anything that you need? We will be more than grateful to provide for you." The king wanted to gift the sheikh in order to honor and show gratitude for his service to the ummah. The sheikh says, "No, I don't need anything. Alhamdulillah, I'm fine." So the king says, "Listen, I heard this small place, this tiny room, you don't have a bed, you don't have a pillow. I heard this is the way that you live. Allow me to gift you a home that is fully furnished." The sheikh says, "No, thank you, fajazakallahu khayra." The king insisted, and this went back and forth a few times. Then the sheikh says, "You know, if you really must know, I am already building a home in another city." So the king says, "Okay, khalas." After he left, the students of the sheikh overheard and asked the sheikh, "Where is this place, this home that you're building? The city that you said you're building a home in is so far away. How will we visit you and how are we going to study with you?" And the sheikh says, "Isn't there a famous cemetery in the city that I mentioned?" The student said, "Yes." Says, "That is where I am building my home." The sheikh, of course, means that he is preparing for his real home, a home where he can enjoy the fruits, the luxuries, all of the riches, the real home that will come and be gifted to the believers in the akhirah, in Jannah, insha'Allah ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow all of us to be from amongst them. Allahumma ameen. Now I want the first point to share with you. Why do I share this story? How did the Shaykh give a response where literally he has the opportunity to ask for anything that he wants? Anything that he could think of at that moment is literally at his disposal. But instead, his only thought, his only priority is the Akhirah. Where does this mindset come from? This is not something that happened at the spur of the moment. This is something that the scholars teach us is a reflection of how a believer lives his or her entire life. And so today, I want to share with you how the believer thinks about and remembers death. And the reason why we choose a topic like this is simple. We continue each and every day to hear about the loss of loved ones, friends and families. And what hurts the most, we all know we have to leave someday. But sometimes when you hear the news of the passing of a loved one, they weren't sick. You didn't see any signs of death. It just happened suddenly as a shock. And sometimes that's the death that hurts the most. Why does this happen? And what are believers taught in the Quran and Sunnah when it comes to this kind of death? So I want to bring your attention to the famous ayah in Surah Ali Imran. All of us know this verse. It happens three times in the entire Quran where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, "Kullu nafsin dha'iqatul maut." In Surah Ali Imran, Allah continues, وَإِنَّمَا تُوَفَّوْنَ أُجُورَكُمْ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ فَمَنْ زُحْزِحَ عَنِ النَّارِ وَأُدْخِلَ الْجَنَّةَ فَقَدْ فَازْ وَمَا الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا مَتَاعُ الْغُرُورِ. This is the verse in Surah Ali Imran. Allah also tells us, كُلُّ نَفْسٍ ذَائِقَةُ الْمَوْتِ, Surah Al-Anbiya, and also in Surah Al-Ankabut. For us to really understand how we prioritize the Akhirah life above and before this life, we have to understand what kullu nafsin dha'iqatul maut is teaching us. When you look at the translation of this ayah, you'll notice that lots of translations will say that every soul shall taste death. And this is not necessarily the most accurate way to translate the word nafsun. Nafsun literally is me and you, the person in his or her entirety. Part of that is our soul. But also nafsun is your personality. It's the qualities that make up you, who you are, how people, when they talk and they interact with you, the person that they meet, the person that they listen to and hear, all of the components that make up an individual is called nafsun. So a better way to look at this ayah is every person is already in the state of tasting death. What does this ayah even mean? Ayyuhal Ahbab, for us to embrace the believer, to embrace their death and look forward to life after death, the first thing that the Quran teaches us to do is to constantly think about your death. And don't think about it to the point where you become depressed. You become stiff. You can't work. You can't talk to anybody. You have so much anxiety. You become morbid, lost, and confused. That's not the purpose. But rather, our Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam taught us that when the believer thinks about death, what it does, how that translates in my life and in your life, is that it causes us to live a more productive life. This is the reason why you and I, we think about our death. Now, sometimes, maybe not even some, many times, we will forget about it. We won't think about death in and of itself. That's where kullu nafsin comes into play. Every single person is already in the state of tasting death. Meaning, if your mind, your thoughts are not thinking about death, well, guess what? You know those stairs that you have to climb in your home? As the days and the months go by, climbing these stairs becomes more and more difficult. Once upon a time, you could run really fast. Now you can barely run. You're struggling to walk. Once upon a time, you look in the mirror. Now you start seeing more and more of those grays from every part of your face. Now your skin starts reminding you that you're tasting death. Your health reminds you. Your intellect, before you used to have a fantastic memory. Now it's a struggle to remember basic things each and every day. So the mind now is tasting death. All of these things that we interact with, that we are involved in 24 hours a day, is kullu nafsin dha'iqatul maut. Now I ask you, brothers and sisters, who thinks about death like this? Where you look at your skin and you start seeing the wrinkles are there, the aches and pains and all your joints are starting to become stronger and worse, and your energy levels are going down. Who internalizes and translates all of these moments we experience every second of the day, that these are reminders that I am slowly, slowly leaving this world? So the believer, they are constantly remembering and they are constantly reminded of death. May Allah Azza wa Jal bless all of us with a husnul khawatim, a righteous end. Allahumma ameen. Then Allah Azza wa Jal gives us a few things to think about. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then tells us, kullu nafsin dha'iqatul maut wa innama tuwaffawna ujurakum yawma al-qiyamah. It is on that day that once we pass away, that the person will reap, they will receive compensation and reward for all the things that they used to do. فَمَنْ زُحْزِحَ عَنِ النَّارِ. The one who was shifted, who was pulled away from the fire. Keep in mind the ayah. The ayah tells us that the person who they were given a distance, pulled away from the fire, which tells us what? This surah, this ayah is telling us that there are people just being close to the fire, in and of itself, they start feeling its punishment. They don't have to be in the fire to feel its punishment. Just being near it alone, they start to feel its effects. May Allah protect all of us. Allahumma ameen. فَمَنْ زُحْزِحَ عَنِ النَّارِ وَأُدْخِلَ الْجَنَّةِ. This is a fantastic and beautiful part of the verse. Allah says, and they were entered into Jannah. Allah entered them in Jannah. They didn't get into Jannah because of all the amazing things that they did. Udkhil, Allah by His mercy saw and judged this person, me and you, and came to the conclusion, you have done so well. Not only do you go to Jannah, but I am personally going to ensure you get there and get there now. May Allah bless all of us with Jannah. Allahumma ameen. You see what's happened? We started off this verse about death. When the believer hears this word for the first time, here's the litmus test to know if you're somebody that when you think about death, you're thinking about it the way the believer should or not. When you hear this, your heart is not afraid. When you hear the word death or you hear the passing of a friend or a relative, it scares you, it might sadden you, it might upset you, but you still say, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Those words can still manifest from your tongue. and you understand that this is the process of life, you're able to embrace and accept it. When you can do this, it is a sign that you are remembering death in a way that Allah is pleased with. And as a result, every single day of your life becomes a productive day. That's the goal. فَمَنْ زُحْزِحَ عَنِ النَّارِ وَأُدْخِلَ الْجَنَّةِ Allah says, فَقَدْ فَازْ. This person has become the true champion. They have won. You know, there are several words in Arabic to describe somebody who has won or become successful. فَاز or فَوْزٌ is when somebody passes the finish line. They don't need to go back. They don't need to worry about anybody else. They have already made it. It's the end of the race. It's the end of the struggle. That's called fazun or fawzun. So Allah says to you and I, once you enter Jannah, I enter you in Jannah, faqad faz. You have done it. You have completed the struggle. وَمَا الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا مَتَاعُ الْغُرُورِ What is this worldly life except that it is two things? Remember these two words, brothers and sisters. مَتَاعٌ and غُرُور. مَتَاعٌ is usually referred to as something that's trivial. It's important, you use it, but you don't depend on it to live your day-to-day lives. So scholars give us examples like simple things like utensils, like a straw or a spoon or a fork. All of these things are linguistically looked at and described as mata'un. When you have it and you're using it, you need it. But it's not like your life will stop or you can't live well if you don't have it. This is called mata'. This is one of the descriptions of worldly life. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses another word, which is a very common word in Quran, and that is ghurur. Shaytan, one of the names that he is described with is al-gharur. What is this word? Ghurur is when somebody is distracted or they're at their lowest and people come and take advantage of you. That's called ghurur. And that's why shaitan is described as al-gharur. Comes to you and me, especially on those days and moments when you're struggling with your iman. The shaitan is there when we are most vulnerable. Allah describes the entire world this way. How? Scholars tell us, if you let this world become your priority, you fall into the state of ghurur, where you hold on, and death, going to a funeral, praying a janazah prayer, being around the remembrance or the reminder of the passing of someone close to you, and even if you don't know them, it frightens you. You don't want to be around that. You know, I still meet Muslims who say to me, it's like, man, when I go to a janazah, that's like the worst thing. I try to avoid that as much as I can. If this happens, you have fallen into gharur. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us not to let this happen. Now, how do you achieve that? How do you maintain this life where you can embrace the reminders of its end, still be a Muslim that Allah is pleased with, and still live a good and productive life? The answer to this question is what we conclude with in the second part of the khutbah. My brothers and sisters, sometimes it's important for you and I to take a break from what's happening around us. Sometimes it's important to just stop and just look at you. Look at yourself. Look at how things have been running and working at home. And ask yourself, if you were to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tomorrow, perhaps maybe tonight, do you feel that you're ready to meet Him subhanahu wa ta'ala? Sometimes you have to just pause and just talk to yourself. Am I ready to meet Him subhanahu wa ta'ala? No one can answer this except you. So I ask Allah azza wa jal continue to keep us close to Him and put barakah in our time, put barakah in our lives, in our homes, and especially with our sons and daughters. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala preserve Islam in us and them, da'iman abada, always and forever. Allahumma ameen. Aqulu ma tasma'un wa astaghfiru Allah li wa lakum wa risa'il muslimina min kulli dham. Astaghfiru innahu huwa al-ghafuru rahim. بسم الله الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله عليه أفضل الصلاة ومن ولا أما بعد. So in conclusion, brothers and sisters, now we understand what we have to do. Now we understand how we have to think about and be reminded of death, as the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam taught us that we should constantly remember it. And the goal is to remember it so it translates into a productive life. How do I do that? How do we start that process? One of the answers Quran gives us is found in verse number 41 in Surah Fussilat. Verses many of us here know, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا رَبُّنَا اللَّهِ ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا تَتَنَزَّلُ عَلَيْهِمُ الْمَلَائِكَةِ أَلَّا تَخَافُوا وَلَا تَحْزَنُوا وَأَبِشِرُوا بِالْجَنَّةِ الَّتِي كُنْتُمْ تُوَعَدُونَ. This verse is the verse that helps us to live this life. Allah Azza wa Jal says, as for those that say, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا رَبُّنَا اللَّهِ, Allah is my Rabb. It's not enough. It's great, alhamdulillah, you say that. Allah wants two things from us. Say it, ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا. Then Allah wants you to uphold and live by the principles of الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. So you, even if you're not a sheikh, you're not a scholar, you've never engrossed yourself in the knowledge of the deen, you don't have a deep understanding, but still you do understand the basics, you can practice the basics, that's a great start in the sight of Allah. But Allah says, even the little that you know, make sure you live by it. تَتَنَزَّلُ عَلَيْهِمُ الْمَلَائِكَةِ. Then when our turn comes and the angel of death visits us. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu said, these ayat of Surah Fussilat, these ayat are speaking about the person who is literally on their deathbed. And they start to see the angels getting closer to them. تَتَنَزَّلُ عَلَيْهِمُ الْمَلَائِكَةِ. They start descending. Angels are everywhere. Only the person who's about to die, seconds away from passing away, they can see all these angels filling up the room. Some of you, when you're around somebody who's about to pass away, do you notice that sometimes their eyes roll up? Some of the scholars say that's one of the signs. They're seeing something that you and I can't see. So they see these angels are coming. And these angels say to them, أَلَّا تَخَافُوا وَلَا تَحْسَنُوا. Don't be scared. Don't be sad. وَأَبْشِرُوا بِالْجَنَّةِ. Congratulations, you did it. You know, this ayah is so remarkable because the believer is being told before they are entered into Jannah, congratulations, you're already going there. Congratulations, Jannah awaits you. You've done it. وَأَبْشِرُوا بِالْجَنَّةِ الَّتِي كُنْتُمْ تُوَعَدُوا. It's the same Jannah that you were always promised. Allah blesses for that believer who lived that life, thinking about and prioritizing the Akhirah, held on to whatever little faith or iman they had, whatever little knowledge they had, they held on and they lived by those principles. Congratulations, the angels come and give you reassurance. Don't be afraid and don't be sad. Jannah is what awaits you. I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enter all of us in Jannah al-Firdaus al-A'la. Allahumma ameen. With our loved ones, those that are present, but also those that have passed away, our friends and our families, we ask Allah Azza wa Jal to reunite all of us together with them under a beautiful tree or a beautiful shade in Jannah al-Firdaus al-A'la. Allahumma ameen. The goal today, my brothers and sisters, and this is what I leave you with, is to hopefully keep a bit of that spark in your heart, that spark of faith and iman, for it to continue to illuminate, for it to continue to stay spiritually alive in me and in you. So once you get back out there, inshallah ta'ala, somewhere in your heart and soul, you feel that the Quran and Sunnah has fueled you once again. And you find a bit of hope and strength and perseverance living each day, but also prioritize and look forward to a better and more peaceful and perfect life in the Akhirah, insha'Allah ta'ala. We send peace and blessings to our Rasul, salawatu rabbi wa salamuhu alayhi, kama amrana subhanahu wa ta'ala fi tanzili, inna allaha wa malaikatahu yusallun ala al-nabi, ya ayyuhallazina amanu sallu alayhi wa sallimu taslima, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad, kama sallaita ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim, innaka hamidun majid. اللهم اغفر المسلمين والمسلمات والمؤمنين والمؤمنات الأحياء منهم والأموات إنك قريب سميع مجيب الدعوات اللهم إننا نسألك الجنة وما قرب إليها من قول أو عمل ونعوذ بك من النار وما قرب إليها من قول أو عمل ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون والسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين. أقم الصلاة.